You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Watch Forest Focus. If you're like me, then you're probably counting down the days until the international break is over and the Premier League returns. For Nottingham Forest, it's a massive game at home to Crystal Palace on Saturday as the Reds look to stave off relegation over the final nine games of the season. Joining us to discuss Saturday's game from the Palace point of view, I'm delighted to be joined by Matt Watts from the Team Called Palace podcast. Matt, thanks for joining me. I said before we started recording, you've been patient. We've moved this around. I couldn't get the mics to work, but we're here now and it's good to have you with us. How are you doing?
Yeah, very, very well. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, as I said, it's a massive game for Forest. We'll get into how big it is for Palace when we discuss the league table a bit later. But how's your season been? You've had one managerial change and a lot of injuries that seem to have affected you. What's it been like from your point of view?
Yeah, it's been quite a turbulent season. Hasn't been a particularly enjoyable one up until this point. I think, from a Palace perspective, what we're really hoping for is a couple more wins and then we can kind of start looking forward to next season. I think this time at the end of this season could be really good for Oliver Glasner to get a real kind of handle on the current squad, and then hopefully we'll have a good summer and a better year next year.
I mentioned injuries as well at the top there. Eze and Elise, who from the outside looking in look like your two best players and miss a lot of football. Mark Gay, he's out. And before we started recording, you were discussing the goalkeepers with Sam Johnson's injury as well. Has that been just really derailed the whole campaign, or has there been more to it than that, do you think?
Yeah, the injuries have been a massive issue. I think when you look at Palace's squad, we don't have the biggest squad. Got a very good first 11, but when you dig a little bit deeper, I think we are a little bit short compared to other Premier League teams. So that has been a massive issue. As you said, our two key attacking players, Eze and Elise, quite simply, we haven't got them on the pitch together enough. And that's been a massive issue. I mean, just throughout the team, though, as you said, Mark Gahey being injured, Cheick Doucouré has been a massive loss for us as well. He was our player of the season last year. For me, I think he's probably one of the best defensive midfield players in the Premier League. We've been without him for quite a long time too. So yeah, just a really kind of stop-start season. There were quite a few issues, I think, with Roy Hodgson. The fact that he didn't like to rotate the team too much. He didn't like to make too many substitutions. He liked to bring players back from injury maybe when they weren't quite ready. So there are quite a few issues there. And obviously, Oliver Glasner's kind of inherited those issues. So yeah, far from ideal. I do think there are quite a few Palace fans that would be quite happy to see the back of this season. And as I said, kind of really looking forward to next season.
Is that lack of squad depth because you seem to have a really good academy? So are you focusing on that? Or is all the money, does it go pumped into, you know, three or four key signings every year? Because I know fans don't seem particularly happy with some aspects of the way the club's progressing. What's your take on all that?
Yeah, so a lot of money has been spent on the academy, and I think we're going to kind of bear the fruits of that in the next probably 5 to 10 years. Obviously, we are looking to increase the size of our stadium as well. Ultimately, for a team that have been in the Premier League for over 10 years now, Selhurst Park is not big enough. We need to get more revenue that way. So that's something that we're looking to do. I think just generally, though, Palace don't spend a great deal of money. I mean, we had the summer under Patrick Vieira where we had quite a big squad churn. We got rid of lots of experienced players. We brought in the likes of Gehi and Elise. But yeah, on the whole, we don't spend a great deal. And to be honest with you, throughout most of our time in the Premier League, I feel as though squad-wise, we've always been a little bit light. So yeah, it's not exactly a new thing. I think the big issue this season has just been the amount of injuries we've had.
One thing about you being in the Premier League, I think I'm right in saying you always seem to finish between 12th and 15th, never particularly higher, never particularly lower. I mean, a lot of Forest fans will absolutely kill for that right now. Does it ever get boring, or are you kind of happy and just looking to build incrementally as you go along?
It's hard. I think we are doing things the sort of slow, long-term kind of way. You know, we aren't blessed with money like certain other Premier League clubs. So I think we're kind of trying to make steady sort of progress. I think bringing in young players like Eze, Elise, and then probably ultimately selling them on for quite a big profit, that's sort of the business model. And, you know, that's unfortunate and it's not something that people maybe enjoy, but ultimately that's where we're at. So yeah, it is sometimes a little bit frustrating, the fact that you kind of know roughly where we're going to finish each season. I think for me, the biggest frustration is the fact that it's been a little while since we've had a cup run. I think when you look at a team like Palace, who you think are probably going to be safe every season, but realistically, they aren't going to finish in the top half. As the, you know, supporters of a team like that, you want something to get you excited each season. So yeah, when we don't have a cup run, each season does feel maybe a little bit dull, a little bit repetitive. But yeah, I mean, growing up, I spent, you know, my childhood with Palace knocking around the Championship, sometimes towards the lower echelons of the Championship. So yeah, we can't take it for granted. But I must admit, there are times where you think, do you know what, I could really do with a really exciting season.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I think Forest are probably working towards that model. Obviously, we sold Brendan Johnson and we might have to sell Murillo and Gibbs White. And I mean, FFP is a whole other topic, but Palace do seem to have been pretty stable and well run. Roy Hodgson went earlier in the season. And was that a popular move by the end, even if he'd done a good job for you over the years? Were you happy he went, in a sense?
Yeah, it's really hard because I think obviously Roy did a fantastic job coming in at the back end of last season. In hindsight, that would have been the perfect time for him to kind of sail off into the sunset. But yeah, you know, they chose to keep him on. I think it's really important to point out that they asked him to stay on. Roy sort of said to them, have a look around, see if there's anyone you fancy. If you don't want me, I won't take it personally. But they went back to him. And, you know, there was talk about they were aiming for a top half finish off the back of a strong end to last season, but they didn't back him. And to be honest with you, in his whole time as Palace manager, they never backed him. I mean, when you look at our summer window, Wilfried Zaha left on a free transfer, obviously a massive player for the football club. We replaced him by bringing in Matias França from Brazil, a 19-year-old, £20 million. Very unproven. Obviously, he was going to have to get used to the country, get used to the Premier League. You know, there just weren't enough reinforcements there. And I think, obviously, they knew in the summer that Michael Elise was injured as well. So we went into the season very short. And for me, I think really, we kind of almost set Roy up to fail. And, you know, yes, there were things this season that were frustrating. I think there were some very strange comments to the media at times about the players, about the fans, that didn't go down particularly well. As I said earlier, I think he could have managed the squad a little bit better too. I do think also there is an element of luck. I think he was a little bit unlucky with some of those injuries, but yeah, it wasn't great. And I think towards the end, it was starting to turn a little bit toxic, which wasn't what anyone wanted. You know, personally, I wanted him to go out in a kind of blaze of glory. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. You know, fair play to the club for making the change. I think it did need to be made. And, you know, since Oliver Glasner has come in, it does feel like a fresh start. It feels like there's a lot more positivity around the club. So, yeah, I think from that point of view, you know, it's really positive at the minute. But, yeah, just a shame that Roy didn't get the send-off he probably deserved.
you mentioned Glasner when Cooper went, and I'll ask you about Cooper as well. I mean, Glasner was pretty high up the list of managers Forest were interested in, and he seemed like a good appointment on paper. What have you made of him in terms of what he's done different? Has he made it more exciting to watch Palace then?
Yeah, so he's, first of all, I think he's very personable. He seems like a really likeable guy. I think that's kind of really important for Palace. I mean, no disrespect to Roy, but, you know, Roy was a lovely guy, you know, a real gentleman. But there were times towards the end where it almost looked as though he didn't really want to be there. I think Oliver Glasner's come in with a kind of fresh injection of energy. I think the players responded really well to him too. I mean, stylistically, it is a bit different. I think under Roy, there was lots of passing the ball around the back and obviously maintaining our shape, but we tried to have a lot more of the football. I think under Glasner, it's a little bit more direct. He's gone with three at the back and wing backs, which is something that Palace have tried in the past and never done particularly well. So it does seem as though that's going to be his preferred method. And so far, I mean, it has looked promising. Obviously, the big caveat is the fact that he's missed so many key players. So he is kind of operating with one hand tied behind his back. But yeah, it does just seem a little bit different, slightly higher intensity, slightly more direct. And to be honest with you, I know a lot of fans these days hear the words direct and they think, oh, you know, that's not for us. But I must admit, there's only so many times I can see Mark Gahey and Joachim Andersson passing the ball between themselves.
Yeah, that's interesting because that's how Forest kind of played under Cooper. They were a bit more counter-attacking. I mean, were Palace fans interested in Cooper? Because most Forest fans loved him, but by the end, there were a few who really turned against him and wanted him gone. Would Palace fans have taken Cooper with open arms or not?
So it's really interesting with Steve Cooper because he's been linked with the Palace job quite a few times. And I always think there's no kind of smoke without fire. I think there was talk about him coming sort of when he was at Swansea. And then, yeah, there was talk about him possibly coming and then replacing Roy Hodgson. But I think for me, he would have been a good fit because obviously you look at what he's done with England, you know, the younger age groups. And we have got some very exciting players in our academy at the minute. And he could have been the person to kind of bring those players through. The only thing I would say with Cooper is when you look at someone like Oliver Glasner, you look at what he did with Wolfsburg and Eintracht Frankfurt. You know, we're talking about someone who's won a major European trophy. I know Cooper won the under-17s World Cup, but getting promoted with Forest isn't quite the same as winning the Europa League. So I think for me, with Cooper, what I was kind of expecting, I was expecting when there was talk about Roy leaving, him to almost be, you know, saying that he wanted the job, he wanted to come back in. But I kind of got the impression just from reports that he was almost a bit like, you know what, I want to take a bit more time out, you know, maybe come back at sort of start of the next season. I think if he really wanted the Palace job, he should have been sort of saying, you know, I want it now. But I do appreciate that after spending a few years at Forest, he probably did need a little bit of time out. But yeah, I think unfortunately for Steve Cooper, that ship has probably sailed. But yeah, no, I mean, I would have been happy with him. I think from having seen you guys last season, I actually think that in terms of stylistic fit, it might have been quite good because I know, you know, Cooper's had a reputation for playing more possession-based football in the past. But last year when I saw you guys, I thought you were a bit more direct. I thought you were very physical. And I think that's something that good Palace sides in the past, they've had those traits. So, yeah, I mean, I think it would have been a good fit. But as I said, I think, unfortunately, for Steve Cooper, that ship has sailed now.
Yeah, I was surprised he didn't, as you say, put noises out to say he wanted the job. And I think he actually wants to wait till the summer to get back in. But that looked like a perfect fit with your academy as well. And the way that, yeah, he can develop players. And stylistically, you're right. Like, we play on the counter and we do like rough teams up, or did rough teams up. So, yeah, I think so. Just before we move on specifically to the game, then just a quick word for our sponsors, the Trent Navigation. If you enter their FPL league, and the league code is LY4UG8, that's all lowercase, LY4UG8, you can win two tickets to a T20 game at Trent Bridge this summer. So I've entered, and if I win, I'll have to give them away, I guess. There's probably too many Brighton players on that screenshot for you, Matt. I saw Stoop and Alan March were on there. But yeah, do you play FPL?
I do, yeah. I play it very badly, though. We've got a team called Palace League, and I think Ben might be top. His brother's sort of second or third. I think my wife's in the top 10, and then I'm sort of somewhere down in the hundreds. I'm not particularly good at it. I've said that I'm going to try much harder next season.
Yes. Is Ben your cousin, isn't he?
Yes, he is, yeah.
Okay, Ben's who you do the podcast with and who I met through his work when I was a journalist and he is. And I know he does play avidly. I've seen him tweet about it. Probably more as avidly as I do. So, yeah, fair play to him. And just a quick other word as well. The Oasis and gig is Saturday the 13th of April, straight after the Forest and Wolves games for a couple of weeks away at 5:30. As ever, free entry, and you can get food from the barbecue, food court, and inside and outside bars. So do get along to that one. Right, Matt, thank you for your patience there. How are you feeling about this game on Saturday then? What you're kind of expecting from Forest after the points deduction? How do you think it might pan out?
Yeah, so we discussed this on our pod last night, and I basically said to Ben that I was expecting a really tough game anyway. I always think the City Ground is a really tough place to go. I must admit, as a away fan or, you know, as a kind of onlooking neutral, I always enjoy watching Forest when they're at home. I think it's a fantastic atmosphere. But yeah, with the news of the points deduction, I think the game's just got even tougher for us because I think there will be some sort of like galvanizing effect. I do feel as though the Forest fans will be even more up for it. Obviously, we've had the international break as well, which kind of makes people long for Premier League football even more. But yeah, I think off the back of that news, it's going to be an incredibly tough game for us. And, you know, we're going to have to really kind of stand up to the test. And to be honest with you, that's something that I think we've been guilty of not doing at times this season. I think compared to some other Premier League teams, Palace can be a little bit soft. They're not always the most resilient. They're not always the most streetwise. So yeah, listen, they're going to have to really stand up on Saturday because I'm expecting a really tough game.
From a Forest fan point of view, who should we be wary of and looking out for? Who can hurt us? I guess Eze springs to mind, or Eze. I'm not sure if I'm even saying it right, but who else would it be who can hurt Forest?
Yeah, so Abiere Eze is the main man. I think really, if he's on song, it's very hard for teams to stop him. I think if you look at some of our other players, though, Jean-Philippe Mateta has been playing really well recently. He's kind of developed his game quite a lot. He's become a lot more physical. He's become much better at playing with his back to goal. He's bringing people into play more. And he does have a really nice habit of popping up with your goal, which is obviously fantastic for centre forward because you need them to do that. But yeah, I think he's a kind of key player for us. Jordan Ayew is another one who always sort of goes under the radar for opposition fans. He's a very good player. He's very good at buying fouls, getting us up the pitch. And then I think also Adam Wharton, who we signed from Blackburn Rovers, a very, very tidy defensive midfielder, very good at getting on the ball and sort of starting our attacks. He's someone who I've been very impressed with since he arrived at the club.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I think Palace or Forest fans will probably say you got the better Ayew of the brothers because we had Andre Ayew last season. He didn't do anything at all. Wharton's a player I like as well. He looks really good on the ball. What about weaknesses where Forest fans can kind of derive some hope? Where can we hurt you potentially?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, our weaknesses are pretty clear. We concede far too many goals from crosses and set pieces. We're not a particularly big team. We're not a particularly physical team. And that is an area where we've been found wanting for the last few years, to be honest with you. And also conceding goals late in games. This has been a real issue the whole season. You know, no Premier League team has conceded more goals in the last 10 minutes of games than Crystal Palace. It's become a bit of a thing, unfortunately. You know, that last Premier League game against Luton, we were under no pressure whatsoever. We were in complete control of the game, but we still didn't manage to see it out. And I think part of it is, you know, mentality. I think it's kind of crept into their heads. I think there are some issues around fitness. There's a lot of talk at the start of the season about the fact that the players were training less under Roy Hodgson, slightly less intense sessions. I think that's come back to bite us quite a few times this season. But yeah, listen, those are kind of key areas where Palace quite simply need to do better. Obviously, you know, at the back, we are missing Mark Gahey. Mark Gahey is a massive player for us. I think he'll probably leave in the summer. I think he'll go and play for one of the so-called big six. And then I think everyone in the country will be aware of just how good he is. So yeah, he's been a kind of key loss at the back. And, you know, you do have some good attacking threats that I think we're going to have to be very wary of.
Yeah. I mean, you'll be pleased to know we're absolutely dire at taking set pieces. I think we've only scored two and we've conceded 19 goals from set pieces. So, yeah, there's plenty of room there. So who would worry you then? Is it Ilanga? Chris Wood's done really well for us. I think he will be fit, which is good. Is it that kind of forward-thinking player that you think could pose a threat?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to Forest, I'm always impressed with Morgan Gibbs-White. I think he's the sort of player that, you know, you'd do very well to keep hold of moving forwards because he is someone that can make things happen, a bit like someone like Eze. I don't know what his fitness situation is, but Taiwo Awoniyi is also a real handful. Okay, good. Because he was really good against us at Selhurst Park last season, looked really, really sharp and just incredibly physical. I mean, he strikes me as being someone where, you know, if he could stay fit, you know, that would massively help you guys. But yeah, I think Anthony Elanga has been really impressive this season because we spent a lot of the summer talking about the fact that we needed wingers. We probably needed another winger even before Wilfred left. But obviously, once he left, we were desperate probably for one or two. And in reality, we only actually got one. So we talked a bit about Elanga. We spoke a bit about Hudson-Odoi. But I feel as though Elanga's kind of been the one that, you know, when you're a young player at a top club like Man United, sometimes you don't really know how good they actually are because, you know, they're playing with top players week in, week out. They're kind of getting limited minutes as well. But I think he's one that's really kind of shown just how good he can be. And I think also that pace that he possesses, you know, that could be a real issue. I mean, someone like Joel Ward, fantastic servant to the football club, but he's not getting on. He's not blessed with pace. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to see him in a foot race with someone like Anthony Elanga.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose in a way, Zaha's a bit of an example of that, isn't he? Because he went to Man United very young and then ended up coming back to Palace. So, yeah, it's interesting you say that. What about the other area of interest for Forest fans is probably in goal, because we spent all summer trying to sign Dean Henderson and he ended up at you guys and we ended up signing some terrible goalkeepers. But that's a different conversation. How's Henderson gone there? Because it looks like he's been very in and out and had continuing injury issues. But he might start this one, you think?
Yeah, I think he will because it sounds as though Sam Johnson is going to be out, which is, you know, a crying shame for Palace, but also a massive, massive shame for Sam, who, you know, we were hoping was going to be on the planes, the Euros in the summer. If he does have some kind of significant injury, that could put his place in doubt. So, yeah, a massive shame for him. Regarding Dean Henderson, he hasn't had the best start to life at Palace. And I actually think a lot of it has come off the back of the fact that we spent £20 million on him in the summer when we had other areas of the pitch that really needed that investment. And I kind of feel as though that sort of started him off on the wrong foot with the Palace fans. There are issues regarding his fitness as well. There's been a number of times this season where he has been out injured. When he came into the team and replaced Sam, he struggled. I don't think he was fully fit, but he struggled. And I think he almost kind of like unnerved the defence a little bit. I think, to be honest with you, Johnson and Henderson are much for muchness. They're very similar in terms of ability, but just feel as though at the minute, the fans and the players are slightly more comfortable with Johnson in goal. So yeah, I mean, listen, Dean Henderson is still a very young goalkeeper. And, you know, I think we've signed him on a long-term contract. There's still plenty of time for him to come good, but I don't feel as though we've seen him at the levels that you possibly saw him at in the past.
So do you think he came into the side because of the fee and they thought they had to give him a chance even though he didn't necessarily merit it? Because Johnson's a good goalie. I was surprised you even entertained kind of potentially replacing him, because I'd have him at Forest, certainly.
Yeah, so I think actually Henderson got his chance because Johnson was injured. You know, kind of revolving door of injuries at Palace this season. But yeah, so that's kind of how he got his chance. But yeah, it's really tricky because I think really the plan was to bring in Henderson and then possibly sell on Johnson, because Johnson's just turned 31. He's not getting any younger. We got him on a free transfer. I feel as though they felt they could make a significant kind of profit on him. We've got some very talented young goalkeepers at the club. We've got Joe Whitworth in the under-21s. We've also got Owen Goodman, who's out on loan at Colchester. He's a really good prospect. But yeah, the Palace goalkeeping situation is a really interesting one. As I said, Henderson is quite a lot younger than Johnson. So I almost feel as though they've brought him in to be kind of a more long-term number one. But yeah, Sam Johnson has been really good for Palace. You know, he came into the team last season, displaced Vicente Guaita, who had been our number one for quite a long time. And listen, he's not anything outstanding. He doesn't pull off worldies every single week, but he's just a very solid Premier League goalkeeper. And, you know, the fans really like him. They've really warmed him as well. So, yeah, it's tricky for Dean Henderson, because I do feel as though that fee and also the kind of Palace fans' relationship with Johnson has made things hard for him. But ultimately, if Johnson is going to be out for a little while, this is a really good opportunity for Henderson to show us what he can do.
Just lastly on the game then, from everything you've said and everything I've seen of Forest, and I watched quite a few Palace games as well. I watched that Luton game. How you didn't win that, I don't know. That was like, there was some bad finishing. And Eze almost scored from the halfway line as well. That was brilliant. But yeah, you should have won that one. But from everything I've seen of Palace, I think you said, are you expecting kind of a tight, low-scoring game with just one goal in it, and it kind of comes down to who just executes a little bit better on the day?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I think I'd be all over 1-0 Forest, to be honest with you. And that's not me being overly pessimistic. I just think that we don't have a particularly good record at the City Ground. We've never had particularly exciting games against Nuno sides. I mean, honestly, watching Nuno's Wolves against Roy Hodgson's Palace used to be like watching paint dry. It was horrendous. So hopefully from, you know, the fans' perspective, it'll be more entertaining than that on Saturday. But yeah, I'm expecting a really, really tricky game. I think off the back of the points deduction as well, that's just made things even trickier for Palace. It was one of those things that as a Palace fan, you hear that and they saw the timing of it. You think that's very typical, kind of typical with how our season's going. But yeah, I think it will be a close game. I think it'll be a real battle. Obviously, I'm hoping that Palace will be up for that battle. I'm hoping that someone like Kabiré Eze will be on song, because he can make the difference. But yeah, I think it's going to be a very tight game.
Just lastly, all through the conversation, you've been talking, not unreasonably at all, that you think Palace are going to be fine. You've got 29 points in 28 games, so you're 8 points clear of the drop zone. So no lingering worries of relegation at all for you then, Matt?
I think one more win. I think one more win, yeah. So we've got you guys on Saturday, and then we've got Bournemouth on Tuesday. And personally, I'm looking at those two games, and I'm thinking if we can win one of those, then I think we can start thinking a little bit about next season. Obviously, it's tricky in the Premier League. You never know. You know, we certainly can't afford to get complacent, because quite simply, we're nowhere near good enough to get complacent. And also, off the back of those two games, we've got Liverpool and Man City. So, yeah, listen, I think we will be fine. I would like one more win fairly soon, just to kind of make sure.
Yeah, I think you'll be fine. I think that, you know, there's some particularly bad teams at the bottom this season, and Forest probably are in that bunch as it stands, but with a chance to turn it around. Right, we shall leave it there. It's a slightly shorter episode because I've got an interview to record straight after this with the head of Forest Academy, which should be really good, and that will be out tomorrow. Yeah, if you've enjoyed this, as ever, do us a favour, hit like, hit subscribe, give us a good review on iTunes, and you can consider becoming a channel member. In the meantime, I will wish Palace good luck. We had a Luton fan on here who Forest fans absolutely hated, but I think they'll like you, Matt, because you spoke very well about Forest and about your own team. So, yeah, good luck for the game, and thanks for joining us.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
And, yeah, have a good day, everyone. Like I say, back tomorrow, not sure what time, but that's with Chris McGuain, and then a full Palace preview on Thursday. But in the meantime, have a good day, and we shall see you soon. Sports Social Podcast Network.